What we're going to do this morning is I'm going to share a little bit about the ministry just on this three-minute video and give you guys an idea of what the Lord has called us into in recent years and months. We have been, my wife and I, those of you who don't know us, our last name is Smith. Mike Smith. Got it? Two most popular names in the world. My wife's name is Stephanie, and then Rachel, my daughter, is with us. We have four other children that are scattered around. They're serving the Lord, and they're in church today, too. We praise the Lord for that. We have had a ministry of helps to other missionaries for the last 32 years, mainly in construction, but also filling the pulpit, maybe leading the singing, doing some music things. Our kids have gotten involved in some of that, but most of the time we're up on the roof, or we're in the bathroom setting tile, or we're doing construction projects. And my collar is... In the last 4 years, the Lord has allowed us to start a ministry trade college, and that's what this video is about. That is a Bible college that teaches the trades, construction, welding, trades. Okay? It's a little bit different than most trade colleges. It's not like WyoTech, okay? Because we teach the Bible. Because we have other types of biblical ministries or trades involved in that. So it's a healthy environment to learn a trade, and that's what Legacy is mainly about. That's our, well, our goal is to glorify God, right? I hope that that's all of our goals. But this is a place where people can go and learn a trade that God has gifted them in and not have to put up with the junk from a secular college. There we go. The idea of our mission is to provide industrial arts and liberal arts at the same time, both Bible, healthy environment, and industrial arts, construction, things like that at the same time. But our mission would be for someone that is gifted in those talents to realize or understand that God has given those talents, and that the purpose is to use those talents for the Lord. So our mission is to develop those talents so that a student can be used to their fullest potential.
So the vision is to teach young people the Bible along with an industrial arts. And I think that's a really unique fit in our society today. I think it's very needed, and there's no one better to do it than my husband, who's been living it for 30 years.
When I heard about Legacy, I was like, wow, okay, Christian trade school. I would love to come to a Christian trade school and learn how to do trades and get a Bible degree.
I like the Christian environment around the job site. As we work here, we're able to apply construction ideas to Christianity and vice versa. Building a solid foundation was our first day here.
My philosophy of Christians in the trades is that when we do work for God's glory. Not compartmentalizing our lives on Sunday and then Monday through Friday being a different person.
Many pastors push Bible college to their young people, to their own family members, as well as young people in their church. And I think that's good. Many students, however, are not cut out for Bible college or a liberal arts training. Many students are gifted by God in the area of working with their hands.
The trades are important because they're necessary. We need these kind of things. I've just been able to use this as a means of ministry to help people. When you have a desire to serve the Lord, you want to do your best, and you want to use every ability that you have and all of the strength that you have and everything that God gives you.
A lot of different avenues of learning for each student so they can customize it to exactly the calling God has placed on their lives.
The Bible says every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And not only does it say that, it says we are to use our gifts or our abilities or talents for the glory of God. Probably the thing that I tell the parents the most that are interested in Legacy would be, now you don't have to choose. Now you don't have to force your kid to go to Bible college or trade college. You don't have to choose between the two because we're both. That's the main reason that students are coming,
It's because they don't have to choose between the world and the ministry.
So, isn't that? That's what God's doing. One of the reasons that we're here this morning is just to share that option with you. You can share that with other people that you know of as well, because there hasn't always been that option to have a Christian education while you're learning a trade. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and we'll continue with our presentation this morning as we worship. And that's one of the reasons, one of the other reasons that we're here is to worship with you. I hope that's why you're here, to worship God.
Amen.
Yeah. This song that I'm getting ready to sing is kind of a prayer about purifying our hearts. And, you know, in the Old Testament, where God lays out the law, and part of the law is when you sacrifice to me or when you worship, you are to do that without blemish and without spot. This lamb that you're sacrificing cannot have any problems with it. I don't want your second best, in other words. That applies to today. When we come before God to worship as a church and individually, we are to come with a pure heart.
Amen.
Without blemish and without spot. So I hope that this song helps in that area, as it does me. I need to have a pure heart as I share God's word. And that's so important. I'm going to try to find my notes here before we get into that. Excuse me just for a second. Not really techie savvy. That's James. Here we go. Okay, I'll set this aside. Search my heart, examine every motive, try my thoughts, and lead me in your ways. Wash my sin, forgive me when I falter, make my life a vessel cleansed by grace. Purify my heart, that I offer praise that honors you. Sanctify my will, that I glorify your name. Occupy my all, that I worship you with every part. As I come before your presence, holy God, purify my heart. Guard my eyes, that I may see you only. Guide my steps to walk the narrow way. Keep my soul from evils that surround me. May my lips exalt you more each day. Purify my heart, that I offer praise that honors you. Sanctify my will, that I glorify your name. Occupy my all, that I worship you with every part. As I come before your presence, holy God, purify my heart, that I offer praise that honors you. Sanctify my will, that I glorify your name. Occupy my all, that I worship you with every part. as I come before your presence, holy God, purify my heart. Purify my heart. Amen. All right, let me have you turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. For the last 3 years now, this has become a major theme in my life. And it goes a lot with a lot of other scriptures, but 1 Peter 4, 10, 11 just kind of bring it all to one place. Let me just give a bit of background introduction. When we began Legacy Trade College, I'm looking at starting a business. Now, those of you who know me and those of you who will get to know me know that I can build stairs and cut rafters, but when it comes to business, when it comes to English, when it comes to communicating with people, when it comes to spelling, oh man, I am not that person. Okay. So I'm learning all kinds of stuff about how you do a business ministry type thing and all the legal stuff with the state of Utah and the 501c3 paperwork that you fill out with the IRS and the people that we need, the teachers and the different trades that, man, I don't know much about welding, but God's given me people that do. And I don't know much about secretarial work and the paperwork or how to do a, what do you call yourself, James? Something monkey. A code monkey. A code monkey. I remember the monkey part. But somebody like James that knows how to do all that coding in the back side of a website. You talk about a gift. He's very gifted. And God's given this network of people to somebody that doesn't know anything hardly to for the greater good, in other words. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about today is the church, the elbow and the hand and the foot and the eye and the kneecap. We're all body parts. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that, the body parts of the church. But Christ is the head.
Amen.
In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, it talks about some of those very things, but it gives us the reason why behind it. So that's where I was kind of going with this introduction, is as we're starting Legacy, I'm reading magazine articles and I'm hearing from other people, you need to do this and you need to do that. And I'm like, what is this and that? So I'm reading this article from our mission agency talking about how you plant a church, and you have to have a purpose statement. You have to have a mission statement. You have to have core values. You have to have a vision statement. And here I am. What's a mission statement? What's a purpose statement? What's the difference between the two? And we got a board together. So we have a board for Legacy Trade College, and we're talking about these things, and I'm sharing my heart. This is what our purpose is. And they're like, Mike, you can't fit that on the back of a t-shirt. You have to narrow that down. Because I spend 3 pages long, you know, talking about our purpose. And that's not really the mission, that's the purpose. Or I'm just so confused about the English language, about any language. I've been in a lot of churches. Stephanie and I have been missionaries for quite a few years. And before we started Legacy, we figured we were in about 700 churches. The reason I say that is because most of the churches in their bulletin or on the wall somewhere, it says, this is the purpose of such and such Baptist church. This is the mission of such and such church. And they look like the same thing. And I'm finding out that a lot of businesses and a lot of places in the U.S., the mission and the purpose, they're just the same thing. Nobody understands what the difference is. So who am I to try to figure out the difference, right? So I did what any good Christian would do. I pull out my phone. I say, hey, Google, what's the difference between a purpose and a mission? Hopefully my phone didn't hear that. And what a mistake that was. Oh, there's so many different articles, and AI says this, and so this book says this. Oh, man, it made it even more confusing. But the gist of it was there's a difference between the two. If you ask the dictionary, the purpose answers the question, who we are and why we exist. Have you ever asked that question? Why do I exist? Why was I ever born? Why did God put me on the planet? That's different than the mission, which answers the question, how we accomplish the purpose. So my question to you as a preacher of the Word of God is, what is your mission? What has God called you to do? But first, you have to understand what the difference is between the purpose and the mission, right? So in the Word of God, oh, there's all kinds of verses that I found over the last few years about this, and I keep bringing them up, and I get to preach on it from time to time. So bear with me now as we spend the next 15, 20 minutes. What?
And when I get up and leave, you're done.
Okay, but I... But I need to get to Cokeville sometime.
When James gives you the high sign.
Yeah, okay. Matthew 5:16 is a big one. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Is that our purpose, so that they can see our good works? No. To see me? No, our purpose is so that when they see our good works, the rest of that verse, and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Okay? Let your light so shine. Ye are the light of the world. But the purpose that we are the light is so that God would be glorified. Let me put it this way. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Aren't you wanting to know what God's will is? Is it a ministry? Ministry. Is it a mystery to you sometimes? What does God want me to do? Who do I marry? Where do I go next? Where am I supposed to live? Where am I supposed to minister? All these things. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. His own will. This is what He did. This is what He predestined. Before we were in our mother's womb, His purpose for us was to, look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. It's very clear there. Our purpose is to glorify God.
Amen.
Revelation 4:11 says that we were created for His pleasure. All things, that includes us, was created for God's pleasure. So once we get that ingrained in our head, that the reason that God put us on the planet is so that He can be pleased, so that we can glorify Him, so that we can serve Him. We got that? Everybody understand that? Okay, now, the mission. How do we do that? And that's where 1 Peter 4:10-11 help us to understand that, because it puts it all into place here. But let me go through a few more verses before we get there. You're able to see that the purpose is to glorify God. Now, the mission, we have to understand as church members, as body parts, we have different talents. We have different abilities. So the way that we glorify God is going to be different. Purpose is the same. We're to glorify God. But the way that we do that is different. Even the way that this church does that might be different than a church in a different location with a different pastor. Some churches, the way that they're just made up, their chemistry is made up to evangelize. And they're really good at it. But the church across town or the church in a different town, their chemistry is made up to disciple and teach others about Christ and how they can serve. And it doesn't mean that this church is doing it wrong or this church is doing it wrong, because they're both glorifying God just in a different way. They have a different mission. Same purpose, but different mission. In 1 Corinthians or Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 7:7, by the way. "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that." There's a diversity of gifts that we hear about in Romans 12. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, but we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with all diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So it gives us a list of gifts there, gives us a list of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Ephesians 4, and then it talks about the spiritual gifts in 1 Peter, which we will get to. Most of this is introduction, right? Is it, 1 Corinthians 12 says there's a diversity of gifts in verse 4. There's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's differences of administrations or different ways that we use the same type of gift. So two people have the gift of preaching, but they preach so differently from one another. They administer it differently. That's what this verse is saying. Two people that have the gift of playing the piano, they do it differently. Two people that have the gift of giving, one person wants everybody to know about it. The other, no. Some people keep it quiet. Some people want the recognition so that God can be glorified in a different way. It's all about glorifying God still, but a different way of administering it, right? I want you to notice in these passages, as you go and read them at home, there's two different types of gifts that are listed. There's the speaking gifts that we use our mouth, the gift of exhortation, the gift of discipling, the gift of evangelism, the gift of prophecy, which in today's world is church planting. Those gifts are done using your mouth. But then there's what's called the service gifts or the ministry gifts. And those gifts are the gifts of giving, the gifts of hospitality, the gift of mercy. You get it? So there's these two different types of gifts, and both of them are in 1 Peter 4. So we'll get to 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Legacy has adopted these verses as our key verses. The guys are memorizing these when we, or the students should be memorizing these throughout the first semester. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Then it says in verse 11, "If any man speak," there's the speaking gifts, "if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." That's the doctrine, the truth. If you're going to speak, make sure you're speaking truth. Then it says, "If any man minister," there's the service gifts. That word minister is the deacon, the diakonos, the servant. "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." And then it gives us the reason why. Why do we exist? Why am I here? Why do I have these gifts that God's given us? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's the way it's just put all there, right there. We have all these gifts and their differences, and it's through God's grace. We're to be good stewards of it. Why? For God's glory. So let me flesh that out with the remainder of our time. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, that word gift is disputed a little bit. Scholars or commentators differ some, but either way, it's still scripture. We can apply this. So some guys will say, well, that's talking about the spiritual gifts, the gift of mercy or the gift of evangelism or the gift of being a pastor teacher. And then other scholars say, no, that it's part of the context here is the gift of grace. That's the enablement, the ability to glorify God, the ability to serve. Either way, doesn't make any difference, okay? I'm going to take my foot back out of my mouth and just, as every man hath received the gift, whether it's the gift of grace or a spiritual gift, we are to use it. Even so, minister the same one to another. Now, the word minister there is in a couple of places in this passage. That word minister has gotten hijacked. I think it was told to me back in the 1500s. The Catholic Church took that word and they said, okay, this is the minister, and he's the person that's in front of everybody. And yes, that is a minister, but the whole church has the gift of ministry.
That's right.
Every one of us should be a minister, according to the interpretation of that word in the Word of God, the word service, the word deacon, the word diakonos, minister. So, as every man hath received the gift, whether it's grace or a spiritual gift, even so minister that gift as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And this is where some of the scholars say, well, that's why it means grace. The gift of grace is given to every man to profit withal, right? Okay. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So a steward is a person that's an overseer or somebody that's been in charge of something or been put in charge of something, maybe even somebody that's been hired to manage a steward, stewardship. This word manifold, I just saw it in the book of Amos yesterday when I was reading. The manifold grace of God, I love this because it fits my personality, interpretation of the way that God speaks to me a lot of times. Let me just explain that just briefly. In the Bible, there are a lot of building projects. Can you think about them? The first building project that comes to mind is the Tower of Babel. They build this big, huge tower. There's a bunch of them. There's Noah's Ark that's before that, right? He built that and it took him however long, and you go through the scriptures and there's all these building projects, and when I get into that building project and reading it, it's like God just speaks my language because I understand it. I understand that a cubit is from here to here, and when I pull my tape measure out, it's roughly 17, 18 inches. Most people don't think that way, okay? I'm weird. When the Bible talks about building projects and trades and I love the story of the tabernacle, and it goes into great detail about the in Exodus like 25 through 40 something. The children of Israel are getting involved in this, and they're bringing badger skins, and you've got this trade of the hunter. Yeah, how can we serve God with hunting? Those guys did it, and then the tanner, beating that leather, and all this. Anyway, the guy down at the smelter that welds gold, before electricity. Whoa. Beating that tinfoil gold so you can wrap the wood, and so you have to have the carpenters, right? And they've got all these tradesmen in there. Getting off subject. The manifold grace of God. What is a manifold? You have any plumbers in here or automotive guys? Anybody? Oh, okay. Well, I'll explain it to you then. In the automotive industry, especially pre-electronic car era, there's an exhaust manifold in the engine. And it would intake, it's an intake manifold, bring all this air in to the engine so that it could cool, so that it could breathe, and then it harnesses it all into the tailpipe. Okay? And that's called a manifold. Brings in all different locations. The Bible word for manifold is color or diversity. All these different colors. So you think of the church and how many people are in here. There's probably, 50 people in here? 60? Something like that? Okay. And each one is one of the intakes of the manifold grace. Think about that. God's grace upon the church in all these different areas, and it's all coming in, but it's being channeled into the tailpipe, into the power of the church. This manifold grace. It's an analogy that a construction worker thinks about, okay? An automotive guy. So you have the power of God, the grace that's upon the church, and it's being channeled all into one place. If we do it right, as Scripture says, we work together and edify one another, and we are working together with this manifold grace as good stewards. Think about the power that you have. God has given you that power. And then collectively, whoa, it's all channeled into one. There's a lot of power here. Okay, now let me explain to you the manifold that's a plumbing manifold. In today's construction, we use a type of pipe called PEX pipe. It's way cheaper than the copper. Okay, but they had copper manifolds back in the day. It wasn't as popular as the manifold today. So the water comes into the house in one spot and goes to the manifold, and then the manifold distributes. You got a water line that goes over to your refrigerator where you get the filtered water. You've got another line that goes to the toilet in the master bedroom, and you've got one that goes to the outside hose bib. And in this manifold, you've got all these different water lines. Some are hot water, some goes to the hot water heater, and then back and forth. That's the plumbing manifold. Let's apply that type of manifold. So God's power is coming through. It's channeled in one place into the church. And then there's a manifold, and it distributes it out to all these different people. Whew, I get the chills just thinking about that. What is your mission? What, it being one channel of this grace, this manifold grace, what has God given you as a spiritual gift? And how can you apply that? This power of grace, that word grace is divine enablement, the ability to glorify God. You have that ability. I love it in 2 Peter. I've been meditating on this the last few months. In 2 Peter, where it talks about add to your faith virtue, and unto virtue, knowledge, and unto knowledge, temperance, and unto temperance, patience, and unto patience, godliness, and unto godliness, brotherly kindness, and unto brotherly kindness, charity. Does that sound like 1 Corinthians 12 and 13? The charity that without that, everything else is worthless? Those of us who are Christians have to have faith that God is Jesus, that He came to earth, lived a perfect sinless life to pay for my sin, so that I could spend eternity with Him in heaven. That's a lot of love. the earthly ministry of Jesus. As a believer, then, I have this gift of salvation. We all have been given, everyone that's not a believer or a believer has been given the gift of enablement to choose. Those who have received that gift, now some people don't receive it. Those who have received that gift now have the ability to do what God's called them to do. So that word virtue that we add to our faith, virtue, you know what virtue means? It means doing what you're meant to do. The ability to do what you're created to do. The purpose, right? To glorify God. Now, how are you doing that? What part of the manifold is you? This divine enablement, the grace that God has put on your life. How is that collected and being made more powerful with the church? How are we serving God to give Him glory in all of these different ways? There's so many spiritual gifts, and then the not to mention the physical gifts that we have and the talents and all of that, and you put all that together, wow. There are so many ways that God can get glory, and you're a part of it. You have a purpose in life, and God made you a purpose of that life, and then He's given you everything that you need. So after that, in 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7 or whatever, it talks about adding to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. All of that, it says that we have, as Christians, through the knowledge of God, everything that we need for life and godliness. In other words, divine enablement, grace has been put on each one of us to be able to do exactly what God wants us to do. Virtue. You have it. You have everything that you need to do God's will. You have everything that you need to please God. So there's no excuses. God has made you for a specific purpose to honor, glorify, please Him, but He doesn't leave it there. He's given you everything that you need in order to be able to do that. Is that clear? Amen. That's the Word of God. That's not just Mike saying that. But applying that to our life, and how it's neat to see that a guy that doesn't know anything is being used that way. In a school, trying to teach others this concept that they have what they need to do what God wants them to do, whether it's welding or construction or cosmetology or whatever, they can still use that to glorify God. Now I'm here today to share with you that you have that ability too. What is your mission? If you don't know what it is, find out. Ask God to help you know what it is. Ask other people. Ask your pastor. What do you think my gift is? What do you think God's... And he might say, not... No. But you do have this gift. You do have this ability. Be a part of our church. Be a part of the power of God that He's put on this church. That's my challenge to you today. Find out what that is. And then use it. So not just 1 Corinthians 7:7 that says every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that, but also 1 Timothy 4:14 that says neglect not the gift that is in thee. God gave you that gift for a purpose. It's not for yourself. It's for Him. It's so that you can accomplish the purpose of what He has called you to glory and virtue. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time. Thank You for the message from Your Word. Every time I read through it, it's so convicting. Pray that You would help me to accomplish Your purpose. and these people here in this church to realize that very concept, that they are profitable for your purpose to give you glory and be able to teach others also. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, and for his sake, for his glory, and I praise you in his name also. Amen.